Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharakana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharakana. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Today, we are joined by our guest, Mayor Yamika Robinson.
The Honorable Yamika Robinson is a native of Lake City, South Carolina. She served as a councilwoman from January 2021 to January 8, 2023, and began her tenure as mayor on January 9th of this year. This was her second time running for mayor of Lake City, South Carolina. Mayor Robinson graduated with honors from Lake City High School in 1997. She graduated from the University of South Carolina with a bachelor's degree of science in biology, and she is currently pursuing a bachelor's degree in legal studies online at Post University.
She was also a certified pharmacy technician for 20 years and worked as an office manager at BioSpine Health and Wellness, LLC in Lake City, South Carolina for 3 years. Since 2017, Mayor Robinson has written articles for a local magazine, Our Neighborhood News. She's a founder and president of Women of Wisdom Empowerment Group, established in 2019. She's a member of the Community Group of Lake City and a member of the Lake City Boys and Girls Club Board. As a transformational leader, she holds the position of co-chair of the PD Youth Day Initiative and is very active in her community. She was recently nominated and elected to serve on the Association of South Carolina Mayors Board of Directors for an unexpired term of 1 year. Most importantly, she is a daughter of the king and proud mother of 5 children and a grandmother of 2 granddaughters. Mayor Yamika Robinson, welcome to Speak On It.
Yes. Hello, Janice and Sharakana. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me today on Speak On It podcast. It's a huge honor, a true honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you. Mayor Robinson, congratulations on being elected the first Black woman as mayor of Lake City, South Carolina. We are so proud of you. For our listeners, please share what inspired you to run for office in your hometown.
Well, I'm going to try to keep it short because it is a long story. Very long story. But to kind of touch basis on it, I know a few people have heard about it, even if you go on Google and look it up, Google my name or our community, but it was a direct issue that directly hit me and my family. Back in 2017, it was the Wedgefield Mobile Home Park community where I recently just moved in, maybe the year before, with my mom, with my 4 children, and that was from a divorce, my divorce. Moving back home, I should say, with my mom, I was in the process of trying to find my own home, of course, after our divorce. But in July 2017, we received a whole community, which was 50 plus families of Wedgefield Mobile Home Park, received a certified letter basically stating that there was change in management for that mobile home park, our community. Okay, that happens a lot, but also that goes along with that letter is the change of management did not want to operate the property as a mobile home park anymore. So that meant every family in that mobile home park had to find a way to up and move. The thing about it is they wanted to move us. We had 60 days. They were giving us 60 days to actually pick up and move. And with the community we were in, a lot of people were on fixed income. We had young people that, you know, had their families. We have elderly seniors. I remember we have a young woman that was maybe about 6, 7, 8 months pregnant, you know. So, and this was in July. Everybody's trying to, you know, go through the summer, get ready, now get ready for school.
Right.
So we're thinking, what 60 days to move, and then plus move where? Because for one, I was looking for a home for the past year for my babies and I had no luck in the Lake City area. So the housing was very, you know, limited, which it is, you know, nationwide, localwide, statewide.
Mm-hmm.
But so from that point, we had to come together as a community, and we went up to our city council meeting. The city council meeting, we went and told them through our public comment period to what was going on and how, and actually tried to see how they can help us. Well, I would say maybe one or two city council members, they gave us, you know, help on how they can help us individually, but we really wasn't getting the help that we needed as a whole. So we went to city council meeting after city council meeting. We even went to county council meeting. But before all of this, and we even started our own meetings as a community because we realized we needed to do something to help each other. They wanted me to be the spokesperson for our community. This is how it started. This is how I really realized that God was truly ordering my steps to be the leader on a whole nother level. And to, like I stated, to make a long story short, we went through court. We had media. We talked about what we was going through. In the meantime, we was also trying to help each person in Wedgeville Mobile Home Park to figure out finances to move their homes, to find a place to move them. And we had an ordinance in place where you couldn't move a mobile home in the city limits. So that meant if you could move your mobile home, you had to move out into the county lines. That also meant people were moving out the city limits. They couldn't vote for city leadership
anymore. Oh, wow.
So that was a big change as well. But so we went to court like two or three times. We had a lot of support behind us from the community to kind of help us. We helped ourselves. We had media coming to hear our story. So in 2018, February 14, 2018, beforehand, I was called and said, I know what you're going through. Can you please come and look at a house? And I said, for me? And it was like, yes, come look at a house. Before we put the for sale sign, I want you to see the house. So I went and looked at the house, loved it. Then I started to do the paperwork so I can buy this house. And because I knew my family, I had to look out for my family, but we were also looking out for each other in Richfield Community Park. Mm-hmm. So whenever I moved on February 14, 2018, my mother's house was supposed to be moved as well. Her home was there, her mobile home was there for 32 plus years. I grew up there. When the mover tried to move it, he started it and then he had to stop. He said, if I try to move this home, it's been sitting here this long, it's going to buckle and break before I even get to a stop sign. So she had to, it was just heartbreaking that my mom worked so hard in so many years for this home that she had to leave this home behind. Somebody eventually ended up getting it and getting it off, but she moved in with me in February 14, 2018, when I moved into my home. And the home I moved into was on Brown Street, where I currently live, but it was in the District 4, where I actually eventually ran for city council. And I just said, God ordered my steps to be in that home, to go through this tragic moment, to be in that home, to place me and position me to be able to run for city council and during that time. So I don't want to keep you too long on that, but that's pretty much how it started out for me. It was just a direct hit. I did not want to see this happen to any other communities again. I wanted to be able to be at the table, to be to make those decisions so we can all have a better better lifestyle, better, you know, better city for everyone. So it was a direct hit for me.
Wow. What a testament to community mobilization, political mobilization, being there for one another, yeah, and getting politically active. That's, you know, like this, what you hear with a lot of grassroots movements. That's amazing. And, you know, this kind of falls in line with the next question. You know, as we read in your bio, you've always been active in your community. Yeah. Along the way, have you had mentors, role models that have challenged and encouraged you to be active in your community?
Oh yes, I have a lot of role models. I would say, yeah, positive, negative, some that encouraged me, like you said, and a few that challenged me as well. Like I stated in my bio that I have a women's empowerment group, and I love to encourage and inspire, especially as I would say, especially women, but anyone, but especially women. Because we have been told for so many years and still to today that because we're a woman, we're only here to do this and do that. We're not supposed to be in this role, or we can't handle this role because we are, we're a woman, a female. So yes, I've had a lot of people to come up to me and support me. I've had pastors, friends, I've had community members, different ages, white and black, to come up to me and said, "Yamika, I know that you can do this." And they have supported me and prayed for me, send me messages and to say, "Go for it. I definitely support you." One particular person is Pastor Paula Morris. She is a true go-getter in our community. The funny thing about it is, my daughter, my baby girl Taylor, who's 10, she say she thought she heard me say on the phone one day that Pastor Paula Morris is running for mayor. And she said, "Mom, if Pastor Paula Morris runs for mayor, I'm so sorry, I'm gonna have to vote for her." I said, "What?" This is just
Sometimes with your own kids.
my own child, but I accepted it okay, because that just shows that Pastor Paula Morris only not positively impact the adults, but she impact the children at 10 years old too. If Taylor could vote, she would have to vote for Pastor Paula Morris over me. So,
Cute.
but but Pastor Paula Morris has truly been a encourager, supporter, prayer warrior for me, as I went through all the changes since, especially not even before Wedgeville situation. She's been there for my children. So I would say her, my mom, my family, my children are my huge, supporters. Even the ones that didn't encourage me that much, really challenged me, were the naysayers. I can even call them the haters. And I say that respectfully, because I don't use that term a lot, but I say it respectfully because I even tell people, if you don't have a hater, you're not doing something right. Because people are really out here, I would say, hating for the wrong reason. Why? We're in this together. We're supposed to be working together. And that's what I try to encourage and motivate people to do. There's enough out there for everyone. What God has for me is for me. I can't do, what God sent for you to do. I can only do what He sent for me to do, or sent me to do. So we all need to just, be that whole body. If I'm the arm, if I'm the left arm, be the right arm, and vice versa. Let's just work together so we can, make this world a better place. So yeah, I had a lot of people that was stating that, she doesn't know what she's doing. She's a woman, she's never had experience, which no, I didn't have experience in running for an office. But after that first time I ran for mayor, yes, I ran for mayor twice. The first time in 2018, I wasn't discouraged at all. I even had people calling me and saying, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" Because people really went off the deep end. People really got depressed after elections. But I was not depressed. My baby girl, once again, she was a little younger than 10 at that point in time. And she said, "Mom, I'm proud of you." She said, "Go to Mayor Anderson and, congratulate him." And I said, "That's definitely on my list, little girl." that's just who she is. But I did, and I, congratulated him at the next council meeting after that first race. And I congratulated and thanked the other opponent that we had, Ms. Gloria Tisdale, because there's three of us in that race, for a clean race, nice race. And I could truly say after that race, even though I didn't win, I actually ran a campaign. I could say now that I'm in the history books of running a campaign. So I looked at the good and the bad. I didn't And I continued to push on. I said, God allowing me to see something. He's allowing me to do this and be a part of this for some reason. I'm not just going to give up after the first time. So
that's
I'm
powerful.
Gonna stop. I'm gonna stop right there. I know. I'm sorry.
You're fine. You're fine. So Lake City has some very, very interesting history. So understanding some of the negative history of Lake City, South Carolina, it is so important to see you in leadership. I feel that as mayor, you are a part of Lake City's redemption. For our listeners, Frazier Baker, a school teacher and married father of six, was appointed the first African-American postmaster of Lake City in July of 1897 by President William McKinley. His home was destroyed by fire. An angry group of white men who were angry about him being in that position and the days that he chose to deliver mail and didn't think that he should be a postmaster. He, along with his two-year-old daughter, were killed, and his wife and children who survived had to be relocated to Boston. Does knowing this part of Lake City history inspire you to continue making positive changes in Lake City?
Most definitely. Most definitely. It truly inspires me. A lot of people definitely will to this day still, get upset listening to the story. But the story is our history. And I tell people often today that Black history is a major part of American history.
Right.
To me, it's like a true foundation of we're building.
Yes.
So we have to continue to know our history and to educate our young people our history. So they would know what we're building on. To hear Frazier Baker's story and the reason why, don't understand what's the reason why did this mob go after him and his family? And he was only doing his job. He was the first Black postmaster that was appointed and, to do this job for Lake City. And they just, was mad for some reason. So it wasn't his fault in any way. He was doing his job. So it truly inspired me to see that he didn't stop. He wasn't going to let it stop him because of how other people felt. This was truly a favor over him that God placed over him. And, we always hear that favor is not fair. And I feel like that I have a favor that God has placed on me to be in this position that I am in today. And as long as I know that he placed me here, he positioned me here, and he equipped me to be here, I can't allow other people's feelings to, discourage me because of how they feel. And either if it's because of the color of my skin, or either because I'm a woman, or if I'm a mother of five, anything, or if I didn't have the experience that they thought that I should have to be in this position. But everyone starts somewhere. I'm pretty sure the previous mayors, they started with no experience as well. But I'm a teachable person. I'm a person that goes out and wants to learn more. I'm not in this position for myself. So at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the betterment of our city and the betterment of our community and each citizen individually and collectively for the city of Lake City and South Carolina, Florence County in South Carolina. So yes, this story and many other stories of history that's just so much of Lake City has truly inspired me to become or to run to be the first African-American female mayor of Lake City. I tell people, yes, I made history, but not only me, it took the citizens.
Right.
The citizens went out and voted, and they are the ones who made history happen. And we have to continue to make history happen. This won't be the last time.
Right.
This is the first time for a Black female or female period to be mayor. But I'm working towards to help my successor, whoever it may be, to do the first things, the first of this and the first of that for Lake City to keep it going and moving forward. So, yes.
And not to be the last. Whenever I hear first, I said it won't be the last.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So, yes, history has been made. History, we know our history. history has been made here in 2023 with me becoming the first female mayor, and history is going to continue to be made in Lake City, South Carolina.
Well, being from South Carolina, just so you know, I was just like, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I was like, we've got to get her on the podcast.
Yes. Yes. And one other thing I want to add with that, with the history part, is the night that I was actually sworn in, there was a Black woman that came up to me. I think she was like in her 60s. She put her arms around me and she gave me a hug to congratulate me. And she whispered in my ear, I will never forget it. She whispered in my ear and she said, I am so thankful that I made it to this day.
Oh.
A Black female mayor, a Black female to become our mayor of Lake City after growing up and seeing the Ku Klux Klan marching down our streets.
Right.
Mm. That will always stay with me, always.
That gave me chills.
Yes.
It gave me chills. Wow. So we noted a news article that highlighted your first 100 days in office as mayor of Lake City. We understand there were some major challenges, but could you please share two or three successes with our listeners during your first 100 days?
Yes, yes. Yes, there were many, many challenges, but which I'm pretty sure a lot of people have heard.
If they look it up, that's why I was like, let's try to stay away from some of that.
I'm telling you, I guess it was just trying to get it all out the way and, you know, and all that good stuff. But some of the successes I would say so far since I've been mayor was we have been working on a CDBG grant, a community development block grant, for the past couple years, I would say. We've been having some, we were awarded the grant, but this grant was for demolition of blight homes. And of course, I know this is in a lot of municipalities where they have the old, you know, worn down houses that just still sitting there. Mm-hmm. Of course, it takes money for families to pay for, to get them torn down. So this community development block grant was awarded to us in the southwestern area of Lake City. And with the grant, it only pinpoints, you know, with the grant, you have to, it's very specific. So you have to do those properties only in that grant that was specified. So it's in the southwestern area of the grant, I mean, of Lake City. And it was like 39 properties. So these properties, you first, it's a long process for you to be able to get to that point that day before, you know, the tearing down. But during the process, of course, you had to make sure that you get the okay or the permission from the property owners. Well, I think the problem was property owners just didn't know how to receive this. I think a lot of them were thinking, okay, am I going to be able to keep my property if they do this? So it was kind of a, you know, misconception, misunderstanding. And then going, you know, you have some properties with families, you got four or five children tied into a property. So you got to get yay from all five kids, from all five mm-hmm. children. You have one in Texas, one in Florida, you know, all spread out. So it was a long process, but we were able to, within the past year and a half to 2 years with this block grant, going through the whole process, we were able to start seeing some of these blight homes go down. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, you should see it now. You should see the property now. It's like,
wow.
There's nothing. And what really got to me, I know this one lady, she's just elated. I know two of them for sure, just elated, tears in their eyes to see that this blighted house was beside them for years.
Right.
And they look out their door in the mornings, you know, you just want to, you know, come, you know, wake up to the beautiful day. But when you're walking out your door and you see this old house that's been sitting there, just, you know, overgrown, you know, sometimes, you know, they have rodents or whatever coming from mm-hmm. it. And now to go out your door and to see nothing there but space, it brought tears to their eyes. And that really is one project that I am truly happy that we were able to get through with. And we still have more to come down. This is 39 properties we have on the grant. And at this point in time, I think we have maybe about 10 or 12 down. So we did before and after, and it's just great. I mean, it's just fabulous to see that. So we're getting the Blight homes down. Another project we have is our housing project that we use our ARPA funds, which is from COVID, the American Rescue Plan funds, that we started because we knew housing was an issue. And like to say back in my story, that's one thing I've been pushing for more housing, because due to the go back to Wedgefield, people needed to move. We had nowhere to go. So I knew this was an issue, and it is an issue everywhere. But where you need to start at home. So I was actually on council when we started with this before I became mayor. So we started with talking about our ARPA funds going towards housing. So right now we're starting with 5 affordable. You want to say, kind of want to say affordable, well, maybe attainable, because you got to be careful using that affordable term, because what's affordable to me may not be affordable to you.
Right. But
they're like starter homes. So there are 5 locations that we started 5 homes at. And when we get these 5 built up for our residents, citizens, anyone to apply for and to receive, we're going to start with 5 more. And this was from our ARPA funds. So that is on a roll and going. So hopefully we'll be able to hand keys to a few families, hopefully in the near future.
Wow.
Another thing was our community center that went back and a couple of years ago, we did a community forum and we asked people what were their needs. One of the needs was we needed a place for our young people to go to. We needed something more for our young people to do. So a community center was one of the top things that they listed. So we actually received funding from the penny sales tax from the county. And this was on the referendum in the November 2020 election, which I ran for council at that point in time. And we got the penny sales tax. It was $3.5 million that we received for yes.
Wow.
So now we're using that to renovate and for our community center, renovate the old Florence Darlington Tech building, which is on, out on Cole Road. And we've been using that to renovate it. Only one thing is we needed more funding since price of material went up and all of that good stuff during COVID. We wanted to put a multi-purpose building right beside it as well that can be used for sports, used for all different types of events. So now we're in the process of trying to find more funding, and we're going to be talking to our federal representation. We did receive funding from our state representation from the House. So we've been really pushing hard to get this community center up and going for our community. And that side of town really didn't have too much going on. So we know that this right here is going to really bring a sense of hope.
Right.
Because we didn't really have much in this area since the old Florence Darlington Tech closed that building and merged with Francis Marion to now where our continuum is on Main Street. So we're bringing hope back to that community. And one last quick thing I'm also stating is the businesses. We've been having conversations. Businesses are really looking at Lake City. We have some things, of course, you don't want to give information, too much information prematurely. And I tell people that we're not trying to hold anything, but you got to be careful. You got to make sure that your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed before this information get out, because we're looking out for everyone. But I can say positive and big things are coming to Lake City. Let's just be patient and let's work together. So we do have businesses really looking at Lake City, South Carolina, little old Lake City, South Carolina, to flourish and become bigger and greater. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So that's a mouthful of things. Great.
Well, no, you embody the spirit of the people's mayor. That's what I feel as you share this information. And, you know, especially housing, I feel like, you know, housing is sort of like the Achilles heel, one of the Achilles heels for a lot of Black and or low income communities. It really can become like a crisis, and it's an issue across the nation. but particularly like Black communities, particularly low income communities. And, you know, when you were talking about the blighted housing, I thought about my time in Baltimore City. I used to live in Baltimore for a couple of years, and it's like the blighted row homes. There will be blocks of row homes that are just empty and, you know, neglected, abandoned. And it's a shame because you could tell they were beautiful. I mean, you just imagine, like, your imagination runs wild. You're like, wow, if they could just develop this block, it would just transform the community. But it really does, you know, it is a serious problem keeping these blighted houses around. And so it is, you know, it's amazing to hear that you did this initiative. You know, it's been successful, and, you know, so many other cities around this country could certainly benefit from a similar initiative for sure. Congratulations to you on these accomplishments, and certainly wish you continued success in those endeavors.
Thank you. And I definitely don't take all the credit at all, because our council members and our city administrator, Mr. William Hall, and our staff and administration, everybody working together is making anything you see in Lake City, the Greater Alliance, the City of Lake City, Visit Lake City, the Chamber of Lake City. We all these different entities work together to make sure that the citizens of Lake City are enjoying Lake City like they should.
Right.
You know, working, it's just working together, you know. So that's really what I push. So I give credit to everyone that puts a hand in.
So Mayor Robinson, before we move on to the next question, I follow you on Facebook, and I just want to say, I love what you're doing with the young people. You're always celebrating them, always posting about them. Love it, love it, love it. Yes. So you recently visited Stevensville or Newfoundland, Canada for a PBS production titled Inside the Circle. Please share a little bit about this PBS special and your trip.
Okay. First I'm going to say is Stevensville, Newfoundland. And yeah. I had to learn to say
not Newfoundland, Newfoundland.
Okay. It's Newfoundland. And the way they told me that when I was over there, they said, say, I do understand Newfoundland. So they say, I understand Newfoundland.
Okay, that's a good one.
But yes, it's, oh my gosh. So for Art Fields, and I know everybody's heard about Art Fields here. We just celebrated the 11th year of Art Fields. We did 11 days here of the Art Festival here in Lake City. And actually the beginning day, the day we did ribbon cutting, was my 100th day in office. So that was a true honor and celebration that day too. Art Fields is kind of like the catalyst of this. During that time, we had Mayor Tom Rose come in from Stevensville, Newfoundland, to come to Lake City, South Carolina. And PBS and a few of their media from Canada came over because they wanted to combine. And they actually had been working on this project for like 5 years. But COVID came in and it kind of, you know, dampened everything and slowed down everything. So now it picked back up with me as mayor. But they came over, Mayor Tom Rose came over, and they set up a time for us to meet and to have individual interviews about ourselves and as mayor, and then about our cities. Mm-hmm. And then we had an interview together. We did that all here in Lake City. And also they had, so they were combining and comparing the two cities, and they're doing it for a TV series called Towns in Tune. And that is going to be aired, I want to say, around September, October this year, after they get everything together from when Mayor Rose came here and then I went to Canada and all of the footage. And when they edit, I think it's going to be aired in September, October, but I would definitely keep everybody abreast on that. But yes, anyway, definitely. Yes. So, and they also had a couple of classes from Lake City Early Childhood schools. I think it was first or second grade, if I can recall. They actually had them like pen pals to one of the schools in Stevensville, Newfoundland. So they were doing the pen pal thing with them. But what it is that they brought over artists, they combined the artists, and they transformed our business of Marshall Marines into like a art venue evening. And this all funds went towards our Lake City Boys and Girls Club for that night as a fundraiser. But they brought different artists in from Canada, from the United States, and they just want to really see the similarities and how the arts can be an economic drive for these two towns. So that's the main thing, the main reason why they wanted to do these towns in tune. So they chose Lake City, South Carolina and Stephenville, Newfoundland to do this. And so when we went to Canada in June, Art Fields inspired Mayor Tom Rose and the town of Stephenville to have their very first inaugural Art Fest. And it was Art Fest. So
that's so cool.
Yes. So I was part of their very first art festival.
Wow.
Newfoundland. And I was really, very, very truly honored by this. And then, you know, they treated us so well. I mean, the weather definitely is different.
Meanwhile, you got me in Facebook going, are you near Nova Scotia? Are you going to Nova Scotia?
No, but it was.
No, I'm not near Nova Scotia next time. I'm like, okay, I'll leave you alone.
I'm going to have to go to Nova Scotia later. But yes, the weather was very chilly, different. And but by the time I got back to South Carolina, I was like, I'm ready to go back to Canada. Because this community is crazy. It was too hot. but we just spent the time there for a few days to do interviews there, the same thing that they did here with myself and Mayor Tom Rose. We went through the town. The town was similar, really similar to Lake City. So it's really, whenever it comes out, I want to say too much about it. But whenever it comes out with PBS and SCE TV, it's really going to be great because they did similar, the same thing there. Instead of 11 days, they only did like, I think it was 3 days they did for the art festival. They had, oh my goodness, they had music from so many different genres, so many different cultures. They're really big on indigenous culture there. So it was just amazing to hear and to see there. And they had a band of accordion students playing accordions. Well, we don't really have accordions here,
right.
But it was very interesting to hear this student, you know, a group of students playing accordions here. So it was a great experience. And also one of those festivals, the last one they had, it was called Artist 3, where they had three different sessions where it was an author that read a portion of their book. The second was a musician who played a guitar, sung a song about that portion that the author spoke about their book. And then the third part was an artist who actually painted a picture or did some type of art piece about that portion of that book.
Oh, and I love that idea.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And these artists were from Nashville, Tennessee, from Canada, from right here in Lake City, South Carolina. So, like I said, I don't want to say too much. So whenever that comes out, but that was the basic thing. We wanted to see how in two different towns, in two different countries, came together and see how the art can be that economic drive for these two towns. So that
Looking forward to seeing that when it airs.
I know. And for them to pick Little Lake City, and be a part of that, that was really neat. And I was so blessed and happy to be a part of their first art fest in Stephenville, Newfoundland.
That is super exciting. That's super exciting. Thank you for sharing with us about that.
Welcome.
So we kind of touched on this previously. We noted how supportive you are regarding everyone in your community, particularly the youth. And we also saw a really nice TikTok video of you and your mom.
Oh, yeah.
You credit with being your biggest supporter. So along with your mom, are there other people that you admire or inspire you?
Oh, yes. This city is full of so many people. I have so many different pastors that come by, Black, white, it doesn't matter. They, you know, they come by my office, they'll give me a call. They pray for me, they pray with me, they'll send me a text message. And a lot of times those text messages come right on time, like out of the blue, right on time. Because definitely it's been some challenges, definitely been some days I'm sitting here and saying, oh my gosh, I'm really sitting here. I'm really doing this. But but I know that God positioned me here and he's definitely not going to leave me. So,
Right, that's right.
But sometimes you just need that, you know, confirmation that, hey, this is the place you're supposed to be. So,
right.
You know, hey, pick up your head, put your crown back on and walk straight. So, but yeah, I have so many, like I said, the pastors, my mother, my family, my children, my campaign team who steadily still, even after the campaign, all of this is over, they still call in, check on me to see how things are going. And the citizens, I mean, they're fabulous, you know, and my staff, the city staff, administration, I can't say it enough how supportive they have been from day one. Before I got sworn in, the night that I was elected, the next day they just been there for me. And I truly, truly appreciate it. We did kind of like a transitioning part before I actually got sworn in, where I couldn't do any really truly mayoral duties, but I was still a council person.
Right.
But the transitioning period for to get into my seat when I got sworn in was tremendous support from them. And I'm very, very appreciative of that. I do want to say that my campaign manager, I had two. And I say two because I ran for mayor in 2018. Did not win that time, but it was okay because I received 32% of the vote. So I knew people wanted to change if I received 32%.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2022, when I won the seat, my second campaign manager. My first campaign manager was Mr. Rashad, the late Mr. Rashad Graham. Rashad Graham was in his 20s. He was very young, but very bright, very such a go-getter, very hardworking. I was told once by a wise man, he said, okay, if you get a campaign manager, you need somebody that's going to tell you what to do, not you tell them what to do. So right. I knew Rashad was the one. And unfortunately, Rashad died in a kayak accident. In 2020, it was just tragic for us all because Rashad touched a lot of people. I'm telling you right now, if you didn't know Rashad, go Google Rashad's name. Rashad Graham from the Citadel, from Lake City. Lake City was his heart. I'm telling you, this young man was on his way to be governor and the table was going to flip. The table was going to switch. He was my campaign manager for mayor. I was going to be his campaign manager for governor of South Carolina.
Wow.
He was on his way, but he truly impacted a lot of people's lives. And to this day, I keep the clipboard where he was jotting down the numbers from that first mayor race. And I still have that clipboard. And on that clipboard, I added from the 2020 election, we won Rashad. And then from the 2022 election, we won Mayor Rashad. He still is in my heart deeply, and I will forever treasure him and cherish him and his life forever. He was a definitely person for our young people here. He touched my kids and many kids here. We still in Lake City, we have Rashad Graham Day. That was given to him by city mayor and city council, Mayor Anderson, when he was in office. And we still celebrate that day, Rashad Graham Day. And we also have a day of Chucks for Rashad, because Rashad loved wearing Chuck Taylors. So every that day when we do Chetan Rashad is the day that he actually passed in April of 2020. So we do that as a remembrance of him. And we go out to the track at the high school and have Chetan Rashad Day. My second manager, now for council, I couldn't get a manager. I felt like I was going to be replacing Rashad, and I couldn't. But the time that came around for me to run for mayor in 2022, he came to me, his spirit came to me that day and said, you need a manager because we need this win. And I'm truthfully telling you the truth. Some people may believe it, some people may not, but I know for myself, he came over really heavily over me that day. And so when I started looking, I ended up getting and pulling in because it was kind of hard because he was like, that's too much work for me. I got this and that to do. But I finally got Malcolm Presley to be my campaign manager. And Malcolm is a very special person because going back in my bio stating that I started writing articles in the Our Neighborhood newspaper, the late Booker T. Presley is Malcolm Presley's father. And
okay.
The one that started me with Our Neighborhood newspaper. And he was a big supporter of mine too in the 2018 mayor race. So I have so many different people tying in that it's not me. It's like God placed us and positioned us for these things to happen. So I just give all honor and praise to him because he positioned everybody in order, you know, for these things to happen. And I'm just so waiting to see what more he has for me as individual, as a woman, but especially for the city of Lake City.
So exciting.
I'm trying to move on to the last question. I'm just sitting here like, wow, you know, you're making a difference already. And I mean, you got to know that based on what I gather from watching you on Facebook. And so, you know, you've already been to Canada. I, you know, predict, and I'm just going to put it out there, you know, not only, you know, Canada, but I think that you will, and like you said, it's not about you, but your name will be known throughout this country and internationally because you represent what leadership is about. It's never, right, ever about one person, but what, right, God wants to do in and through a person to make a difference in a community, in a church, in a school, in the lives of other people. And I love, love how you celebrated Rashad. I'm definitely going to him up, you know.
Yeah.
So Mayor Robinson, what are some parting words of inspiration that you would like to share or leave with our listeners? And then also, how can they learn more about you?
Well, you can learn more about me following me on Facebook. I'm definitely a Facebooker. I put it out there. I inspire people. I motivate. I use Facebook in a positive way. I let my light shine, truthfully. And I know a lot of people, I think the light kind of blinds some people, or it shines too bright. But I've always been told, don't dim your light for anyone.
Just hand us some sunglasses.
That's it. I just truly let my light shine. And there are days that I'm like, okay, maybe I need to. I even say this to myself. I say, maybe I don't need to post this today because. But no, I step back and I say, you know what? God whispers to me and said, no, this is your season. This is your season. You know, so let your light shine because you don't know if as soon as you dim your light, it's going to be dimmed for somebody that really needs it. So, yeah, so definitely follow me on Facebook, follow the City of Lake City page, our website. You can call me, you can contact me. It's fine. I'm here to, you know, any questions you may have. Hey, even if you want, you thinking about running for an office, I've already had it. People have already contacted me and said, how did you start this? I'm thinking about running for this. And I love that because we're always talking about people voting, getting registered to vote or going out to vote, which is very important. But we need to start talking about people running too.
Right.
Stop with all these unopposed elections, right, you know. Hey,
very true. Very true.
My 4 years to be up, hey, I'm not going to deter if somebody wants to run against me. That's great. We don't need unopposed. We need people to go out there and start talking and working and telling people why you want this position, why you want to make this area better, why you want to make this city better, instead of you running unopposed. You don't really even need to say anything because you're there already.
Right, you know? By default, yeah.
Right, by default. So I just contact me. You can contact me through email, Facebook, website, city website, any, you know, by phone, however you need to. Also, the first question was, what would I like to say to everybody? And I'm not going to take long on this because this is my historical quote that I have said, been saying. Be the first to do it, then encourage others to do it even better.
Mm.
That's it. That is it. Be the first to do it, then encourage others to do even better. And that's when it goes back to, I feel like I am a transformational leader because I'm not just telling our young people that you can be a mayor, you can be this, you can be that. I'm showing them. I'm encouraging them. I'm motivating them. I'm inspiring them. So be that encourager, be that transformational leader for somebody. Be the first to do it and encourage others to do it even better.
Wow, you're so motivating. You are very motivating and inspiring. That is an amazing like quote. I love that. And that's so true. You know, and a lot of times it definitely embodies the spirit of, you know, paying it forward, you know.
Right.
Wow.
I'm going to use that in our promo, her quote. I love that.
There it is. Mayor Yamika Robinson, thank you so, so much for sharing with us and sharing with our listeners. It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you. It was a true honor being on here. I can't wait to the next time. I can tell you for my next 100 days or so.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. We'd love to have you back. Yes, for sure. For sure. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It.
Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. Thank you.